All right, so good afternoon. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit today about DC's school-based STD screening program and how we were able to introduce HIV testing into that program and sustain it over a couple of years. So just an overview of what we're going to do today. I'm going to talk a little bit about how the program came to be, show you guys a timeline of how the program has developed over the years, discuss a little bit about the program structure, so how we were able to integrate HIV testing, and then go through a couple of different iterations of HIV testing over the years. We're going to look at some of the data that we saw as a result of the HIV testing incorporation, and then finish up with some conclusions. So as with many school-based screening programs here in the U.S., the need for the program was determined based on data. So we already know that youth between the ages of 14 to 24 are disproportionately affected by chlamydia and gonorrhea. It's important in D.C. to note that our youth between the ages of 15 and 19 have chlamydia and gonorrhea rates that far exceed the national averages. So the data really goes to show that the program is needed for this population. In addition to the data, we also know there are very well-known barriers to STD screening and treatment for youth in this age group. And it's important to note that in 2007, before the program began, there were only two school-based health centers in D.C., and at this point, there were still no comprehensive sex educational services being provided across schools, so youth were lacking the knowledge and the low barrier opportunities to get tested. So the school setting really provided an ideal opportunity to provide students with education and then an opportunity to get tested in school. So the program, we began advocating for the program in 2006. We secured buy-in from the people who were necessary, the Department of Health, principals, teachers, parents, and we actually began screening in 2008. That was just chlamydia and gonorrhea screening via a urine-based sample. So we did that for a few years and then decided that we wanted to introduce HIV testing, which we then did in the 2010 school year. So HIV testing was incorporated that school year and continued on, and it still is a part of the program. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that program has kind of developed over the years. So just to give you, So the program structure. So just to give you an idea of how the program actually flows, and it's similar to a lot of other school-based screening programs, we start off with a presentation that covers some STD information, some basic HIV information, and then students are given the opportunity to actually test. So when we initially implemented the program, it was just STD screening. You would go to the bathroom, choose to pee in the cup or not pee in the cup, and then you would give us back your specimen. We then returned to the schools a couple of days later to provide in-school treatment services to you and your partners if they were in school, and then followed up with the necessary rescreening afterwards. Now, like I said, in 2010, we decided to introduce HIV screening, and that initially happened during the treatment phase of the program. So when we return into the school to provide treatment to the students that tested positive for either chlamydia, gonorrhea, or both, they also had the opportunity to decide to be tested for HIV. That was in 2010. It went well. We decided to expand a little bit in 2011 school year. So that school year, we implemented walk-in HIV testing as well on treatment days. So whether or not a student had tested positive with us, they could come in on treatment day and opt into getting HIV tests. Again, the numbers were good. We said, let's go a little further. So in 2012 school year, we decided to pilot HIV testing as a part of our STD screening day. So on screening day, students had the opportunity to be tested for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and or HIV. In 2012, it went well. 2013, we expanded. We provided that service in 10 schools and then expanded a little bit more in 2014, providing screening at 14 schools. To talk a little bit about how we've actually structured the program in terms of staffing and some other items, staffing was a really huge one here. The school-based screening program is a program that has access to limited resources, so we really had to make sure to figure out how to staff it and staff it effectively. And we could not have done this without the support of our CBO partners, who were really huge in providing support on the STD screening days initially, and then even more, they became even more important once we integrated HIV testing into the program. So in terms of staffing for treatment day testing, which was the initial format, that was pretty, you know, low in terms of how much staff we needed. We simply used a DIS who would interview our patient who was positive. We had a clinician who would provide treatment for the STDs, and then a CBO partner who would implement the HIV testing and counseling portion of that testing session. Now, for screening day, as you can imagine, you can have anywhere from 50 to a couple of hundred students at a time that you're screening for STDs. So we had to kind of replicate that for HIV testing component as well. So that included securing extra space and extra CBO partners who could really support the demand of, you know, possibly hundreds of students demanding HIV testing. So like I said, our CBO partners were huge in supporting making sure that that happened. In terms of screening, that happened in a couple of different ways at different schools, and it really depended on a school's culture, what they felt comfortable with. Some schools preferred methods where students, you know, were assigned, signed up for slots where they came down for testing at a set time. Other schools had more free-flowing formats where students were just simply allowed to access HIV testing throughout the screening days while we were there at school. So it really depended on the school. In terms of results, so we did not give HIV results on screening days. Students were given information to call a landline where they would verify their identity and be given their HIV test result over the phone. And then in terms of support, for our high-risk negatives, on the initial format where we tested on we tested for HIV on treatment days, we had CBO partners there who provided risk reduction screening and other support services to those students. And then we obviously had protocols and procedures in place to ensure that any student that tested positive was linked to CLEAR immediately. So just to take a look here at the data that we see, so it, you know, the HIV testing numbers clearly indicate that students were interested in HIV testing and actually, you know, went through with the action of getting tested. We increased from 30 with the pilot down to 831 students getting tested in the 2014 and 15 school year. So the numbers show students are interested and they do want to get tested. However, the STD screening program, I just want to point out here the column with the number of students tested for STDs. That number, decreased dramatically during the 2013 and 14 school years as we ramped up our HIV testing efforts. We were down to 50% of students getting screened for STDs, and it dropped to 42% in that final school year. So students were opting to get HIV tested and saying, I've done STD, let me try HIV this time. So it negatively affected the numbers of students that got tested for STDs. Obviously, that also means that we saw a decrease in the number of STD-positive students that we identified, and then obviously the number that was treated. So those numbers are highlighted there to kind of show that effect. This is a data-driven program, so while we implemented the HIV testing, you know, data shows that the risk of infection for youth in this category is really chlamydia and gonorrhea, and even though the HIV testing is new and exciting, it kind of negatively affected the STD portion of the program. Just to take another look at some of the data here, with the 2013 and 2014 school years, like I said, the numbers tested for HIV continue to increase. However, in the last column here, we see that just 42 and 32% of students who tested positive for an STD got tested for HIV. So what that meant is that our highest risk students were not opting into STD testing because, you know, they chose to do an HIV test and just only do an HIV test. So that negatively affected that, and we're missing our highest risk students. I also wanted to point out here that we only had a 0.06% positivity rate. We provided about 1,700 HIV tests over the course of the years, and only one HIV positive student was identified in comparison to the couple of thousand STD infections that we were able to find. Just some conclusions here. So HIV testing is great. It works. Students are really excited and into it, but we almost had a congratulations, you played yourself kind of moment because our STD screening rates went down. Students, when they have the chance to opt into both, kind of gravitate towards the HIV testing component. And while it's great and it can be sustained and it is successful when it's implemented, it should be the HIV screening should be provided on a separate opportunity that doesn't allow you to compete with STD screening in the school setting. We've made some changes for the 2015 and 16 school year going forward, which include restructuring the HIV testing to focus on the students who are high-risk negatives for STDs. And I have a poster that will be on display, Late Breaker 22, and it talks a little bit more about some of the changes that we've made to the program going forward. And I just want to acknowledge Michael Carfin, Dr. Finesta's here, Dr. Gales is here, and my supervisor, Veronica Orkia, and just really shout out all the CBOs that have helped us make this program a great success.